It is time for us to check sports here on Robin Hood Radio. And we'll start off first with a little conversation with none other than Mike Causey. Morning, Mike.
Morning.
Is it cold down there?
No, it's warm. It's about 87 and sunny.
Okay, let's talk about hockey, seeing as we're, it's cold up here. How about Dallas? They're off to a 4-0 start. They defeated the Red Wings 7-3.
Well, beating the Red Wings is no stretch, but 4-0, I guess, is pretty good.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like beating the Rangers, who are in last place in the East Division with a record of 2-4-1. The Islanders are 3-4-0.
Yeah, the Islanders haven't been playing good. They started out pretty good, but they're not playing well lately.
And the Devils are 3-3-1, so the bottom three teams in the East Division are all our local teams.
Not good.
Not good at all. And and in basketball, the Knicks are still holding out. They're at number 8 place in the playoffs. Who cares, really? I just thought I'd bring that along anyway. I'm sorry. I'm interested in professional basketball once it gets down towards the end of the season.
I'm interested in professional basketball when the season's over.
UConn women lost their first game of the season.
And have they lost many games because of being canceled because of the flu?
Yeah, it's been on and off, on and off, on and off, and that doesn't help at all. It doesn't help any of the teams that compete. You're going to play, you prepare for a game, all of a sudden you're not going to play. You know, it's it is what it is. But so already the UConn women's season can't be considered a success because, first of all, they lost a game. Yeah, it's just the way
it is. They've been good, but they haven't been playing the way that they have played for the last 30 years.
No, they haven't gone 100 games twice in a row without losing. No, not at all. That, folks, if that ever, that just can't happen again. That's just one of those weird things that happened in sports. I mean, a good developing program that developed quicker than others, but there's other women's basketball programs that have now caught up.
Yeah, they're starting to catch up.
Yeah, so that's the only thing that's going to save that basketball, because you can't just have one dominant team. You have to have teams challenging one another. Remember when Tennessee and UConn used to play the women? It was a dogfight. It was the first nationally televised women's basketball game. That's what you need for a league to succeed. You need those rivalries and those teams that can beat one another. It's just,
well, you need more than one team or two teams that dominate.
Yeah, that's what you need. All right, so now I'm going to get to the 800-pound gorilla in the closet, okay? And I could care less what Curt Schilling thinks about who should be president, who shouldn't be president. I could give nothing about his political views, his views on the weather. It doesn't matter to me. My association with Curt Schilling is watching him pitch and being as good as he was. And he was really the linchpin, the emotion that helped the Red Sox overcome the curse.
Not only that, look at all he did in Arizona.
Yeah, so now you take the Baseball Writers Association of America, and he missed by 15 votes. So he didn't get in this year, and so he said, you know, just take my name off. I'll leave it up to the old-timers, because the old-timers know who plays great baseball and who doesn't. And then the Baseball Writers Association said, well, we're against that. He should still be on the ballot for next year. Listen, you cannot keep a guy out of – if you were going to take the people out of baseball that have either offended you with their actions, it's either drinking or anything like that, you can't do that. For somebody speaking out, it wasn't hate speech. He didn't do anything. It wasn't hate speech. He should.
Well, you know, if you say you don't like cold weather, it's considered hate speech.
You know, he should not be banned from entering the Hall of Fame, and the writers shouldn't hold it over his head. He didn't use steroids. You know, he didn't do any of those things. You know, it's just, you know, I don't understand it. I just don't.
Welcome to the new America.
You know, he really, like you said, his work in Arizona was amazing. But really, if you take him off that Red Sox team, they don't win. They don't get to that World Series.
Let me tell you something. Curt Schilling is better than any pitcher in Major League Baseball right now, bar none. Here's a guy who has the guts to pitch 9 innings today and come back again and pitch in 2 or 3 days if the team needs him to win a championship. If people in baseball today had the work ethic and the guts of Curt Schilling, baseball would be a lot better sport. But, you know, you have to appease people, and you have to walk the line backwards to make everybody happy nowadays. And Curt Schilling won't do it, and more power to Curt Schilling.
You know, you can go back in baseball history. Look at Ford Frick. There was one of the most ornery.
I don't know. I wasn't born then,
no.
Were you?
No, but all the stories, like, he was the most ornery, arrogant, horrible person in the world. But in baseball, he's an important figure. Can you imagine?
You know, like I said, in today's America, you have to be kind to everybody. It doesn't matter what you get paid to do that you do well. Everything else has to, you know, goose step to the beat of the drum. And people don't want to do that. Curt Schilling don't want to do it. He's supposed to be put in the Hall of Fame for his production as a baseball player. And he's one of the best pitchers of all time. But unfortunately, like I said, that's not the times we live in today.
You know, and it's just, well, anyways, that's I'm not going to beat a dead horse, but it's a very foolish, very, very, very foolish decision.
But, yeah. Like I said, welcome to the new America.
We'll just go on. So now, is there any racing coming up this weekend?
Yeah, I was looking at them. And I had one race to do, but I decided not to because I remembered you can't have Lasix. But before we get to racing, a couple more things. The Blue Jays went out and signed Springer,
yeah,
which was a great move for them. Then they went out and drank the Kool-Aid and picked up Steven Matz from the Mets. Oof. Why would anybody want Steven Matz?
Yeah.
Here's a guy that gives up a home run, goes back to the dugout, takes a seat and starts crying. I don't know. Maybe the water's fouled up in Toronto, but
and Tanaka's,
good move getting Springer, terrible move in getting Mets.
And Tanaka's going back to Japan.
Well, that's all right. The Yankees signed Corey Kluber.
It's going to be interesting to see. Going to be interesting if we. You know what? I'm not even gonna fast forward to baseball. We'll see.
Signing Kluber's like going to the snake oil salesman and saying, "Yeah, that bald tire's good. You can still get about 30,000 miles off it." Yeah, you might, but it might blow up as soon as you go around the corner too. That's Corey Kluber.
So we'll see what happens with that.
But now we got some racing. They got some kind of bettable races this weekend at Gulfstream because they're all newly turned 3-year-olds, and a lot of them haven't been running with Lasix. So you can eliminate the ones that have that, you know, because you see like a horse in the fourth race at Gulfstream tomorrow. First time out without Lasix, the horse was beat miserably. Then they gave him Lasix and he won. So the Lasix improved the horse because the horse was able to breathe, but now the powers that be don't want the horses to breathe, so you can't run with Lasix anymore. So that would be an automatic toss, folks. So you got to look at not only the lines of the horses, but you have to look at if they were treated with Lasix, and if that improved them, then you have to toss them out. So with that being said, in the fourth race at Gulfstream, it's a 3-year-old colt race going a mile on the turf. Two horses I'm looking here. One is the one horse, Chess's Dream by Jess's Dream. Jess's Dream, if you don't know, by Curl and Rachel Alexandra. This horse took the blinkers off last time to break his maiden at Gulfstream, drew off with a nice, impressive move to win by 5 on the turf. So this horse could be any kind of horse. Hasn't run with Lasix, so he's a use. But the 7 horse, Kentucky Pharaoh, is the speed of the speed in the race. Speed's been pretty good at Gulfstream, especially when the rails are pretty much anywhere lately because that turf course is pretty beat up. This horse is the speed of the speed, expecting to get out front. Leperoux has been very good in the front, and that horse will be my top pick. So we're going to go with a 7-1 box with the 7 to win in the fourth at Gulfstream. The 6th is the Swale for 3-year-old colts. Short field, only 6. If you go outside, the 6 horse by George is the speed of the speed in this race. On the outside, should break well for Christopher Clement and should wire this field. A horse I'm going to use underneath, which is the closer in the race and could upset the apple cart, is the 3 horse at 10-1, Ultimate Badger. So a 6-3 exacta box in the 6th race at Gulfstream. The 10th is the filly race for the 3-year-olds going a mile on the turf. 9 horses line up here. two horses I'm looking at. The six horse, Domain Expertise, trained by Trad Brown, ran a real nice race on the front end at Tampa Bay to win. That's real hard to do at Tampa Bay, winning in the front. But this horse has the speed to do it and could repeat tomorrow at Gulfstream. And another horse I'm looking at is going to be the five, White Frost, trained by Billy Mott. One for one on the turf, winning at Aqueduct in November. Hasn't been seen since then. Training pretty good at Payson Park. So I'm looking at a 5-6, 6-5 exacta in the 10th. And then a big three-year-old race of the weekend is the mile on the 16th, Holy Bull, for three-year-old colts with Derby aspirations. Two horses I'm looking at in here. One is the seven-horse greatest Honor. This horse is out of Tiffany's Honor, who dropped three Belmont winners. So the pedigree is there for the mare. The mare has produced some winners. It took a little while for this horse to get on track, but as soon as they stretched this horse out to two turns, the horse improved vastly. So this horse could be the favorite in the race, but I think this horse is an absolute must-use in the 11th. But the horse I'm going to bet to win is the 8, Sitting on Go. This horse won the Iroquois at Churchill last September very handily. Had a lot of problems in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile when this horse went off at 9-1, and then came back on some short rest in the Jockey Club at Churchill Downs. Ran an even race, but didn't have a lot in him. I think this horse was used too much in November as a two-year-old. Has some time off for Dale Romans. I think this horse is sitting on a big race, as evident by his June 16th workout, 59-4, going 5 over Gulfstream Park. So a 7-8 exact the box in the Holy Bull, and we're going to put a couple of bucks on the 8 to win. So we got a couple of races we can bet this weekend because these horses haven't run on Lasix.
All right. Well, Mike, I want you to have a good weekend because next weekend is the Super Bowl.
Nonentity.
We'll talk.
That's why they made remotes. You can change the channel.
All right. We'll talk to you Monday.
I won't watch that.
I might, just because Brady's in it.
Watch it when I flip through. If Brady's winning, then I'll watch it just to see him win.
All right. I'll speak to you on Monday.
Have a good weekend, guys.
Take care. Mike Kosky with the check on sports this morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robin Hood Radio.